You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO at 100.5 FM.
1971 was the 100th anniversary of British Columbia joining Confederation. 1971 also saw the publication of the 100-year ripoff. While almost all comic books at the time were focusing on superheroes in tight outfits, the 100-year ripoff was one of the earliest known comic book histories in Canada. Although it's been out of print for over 40 years, the 100-year ripoff is being restored and republished. Nicole Ginneling is the owner of the Ad Astra Comics website. There, she researches, reviews, promotes, and now publishes political and historical comic books. And Nicole joins me by phone from Toronto. Hello, Nicole.
Hi, how are you today?
Pretty good, thank you. What is the 100-year ripoff about?
Well, it was originally published in July 1971, which, in my opinion, makes it, the time in which it was published kind of makes it very interesting. As you said, not a lot of comic books at the time were talking about political or historical issues. It was published in response to the scheduled centennial festivities that were happening at the time, marking BC's 100th year of Confederation. And the creators of the comic, Robert Sims and Bob Altwain, who worked with the radical organization Socialist Youth, chose to release the comic at the time as an alternative to what they saw as, you know, sort of empty pomp and circumstance. So here's a comic talking about 100 years of First Nations struggles, the theft of Indigenous land, volatile class war, labor strikes, women's liberation, student activism, all the way up to the year 1971. So it's a bit of a tour de force.
Tell me a little bit more about Bob Sims and Bob Altwain.
Well, both of them, as I said, worked with Socialist Youth. They were both in their early 20s at the time. As far as I understand it, Bob did most of the writing of the comic, and he was more sort of actively involved as an activist, and then Bob Altwain really had a hand at art and illustration and graphic design, so he sort of focused on that piece. But unfortunately, Robert Sims has since passed. He passed away in 2007, and so the book is in memory of him and his time as an activist. But I've been in communication with Bob Altwain all through the process of remastering and releasing the comic.
Oh, he must be pretty excited to see it come back.
Well, it was funny talking to him about it because at first it was almost a non-issue. He mentioned that he had made this comic in his early 20s and that he had basically forgotten about it. And so I sent him a couple of the remastered pages, and all of a sudden it was this wonderful, you know, conversation of nostalgia that we were talking about. I guess he got into his closet and dug out a couple of the original copies of the comic, and he said that it was just sort of a wonderful experience to think back about that time in his life and this project that he shared with Robert.
Can you give us an example of the sort of stories that we'd read in the book?
Yeah, so, I mean, it naturally goes in chronological order. Some of the high points that I found really interesting were some of the detailing of the theft of Indigenous land, the purchasing wholesale of massive amounts of British Columbia territory by the Hudson's Bay Company and by other major early corporations, like the purchase of Vancouver Island entirely for a few shillings. And the banning of potlatches, I think, was also really illuminating, seeing some firsthand quotes from missionaries and from officials in the Bureau of Indian Affairs talking about how potlatches were so dangerous to in influencing people against notions of private property that were so important at the time. That it goes all the way up to, you know, the early 70s, but one of my other favorite moments is the 1938 sit-downer strike in Vancouver, where 1,200 people, workers, unemployed, youth, sat down and occupied the Vancouver Art Gallery and the Georgia Hotel in protesting of a lack of jobs and a lack of food. And I, when I revisited this, you know, this year, I thought, wow, what an interesting, you know, sort of occupy revisiting. You know, here is something happening 80 years ago, and it reminds me so much of one of the biggest social movements that we've seen in the last couple of years.
So you could definitely see parallels there.
Absolutely. And that was one of the most exciting things about working on the comic.
Now, comic book histories have become quite popular now. And so most people will probably have picked one up at some point or another and looked through it. Is the style very similar to what we would see nowadays?
Well, that's a really interesting question. I feel like 100 Year Ripoff was really ahead of its time by maybe 30, 40 years. As you said, in the last 10 years, and this is something that I research at on the website at Astor Comics, it's really been a renaissance in the last decade of historical comic books, or as they're called now, graphic histories, graphic biographies, comics that talk about political issues and deal with educational subjects. Because, let's face it, comic books are now one of the most popular sections of a library. They're the book that students will pick up before any other book. In a lot of ways, I'd say that that 100 Year Ripoff is more a sign of the times. I think once you take a look at the comic, you'll notice a lot of the illustrations remind you almost of Schoolhouse Rock. You know, it's that sort of 70s style illustration that's maybe a little bit goofy and a little bit stylistic. So I don't think you'd see the same comic coming out now, but I think that's something that I love about the comic, is that it's really a part of the historical moment that it came from, too.
How did you come to learn about the book?
Well, in my days in Vancouver, I used to be a student activist, and I used to be a part of a reading group where we would share readings mainly about, you know, socialism or radical histories. And so we dove into, you know, labor history in British Columbia and in Vancouver. And I remember that this comic was circulated as, you know, a photocopy of a photocopy. My version of it is the original dimensions that it was originally published, which was a broadsheet sort of tabloid layout, and I loved it at the time. I found it to be a really palatable way to learn about radical history and labor history, but I thought that maybe bringing it back, it should take on a form that more people are familiar with. And so the remastering process included resizing and formatting things to fit a standard size comic book format. So, you know, your garden variety Marvel comic is the frame, is the dimensions that 100 Year Ripoff now has.
Have you made any changes or any additions to the reissue?
Well, it was important for me to keep the comic book and its you know, its original printing, keep the integrity of that together. So there haven't been any added additions to the graphics themselves. The text remains unchanged, although I did remaster that. I did make a few additions. One, I added an introduction to it, just to sort of provide some context to how a lot of things have changed since 1971. I mean, this is a very radical comic where, you know, Pierre Trudeau, one of our most liberal prime ministers, is, you know, put forward in caricatures, making him look like a fascist in some ways, you know. So I wanted to give something to provide context to how times in the early 70s in Vancouver were probably a lot different than what we see them as today. And then to complement that, I added two things. I added a glossary of terms. There's a lot of acronyms that get visited in the book in terms of political parties and unions and the like. And then I also built a map of British Columbia to act as a reference point for some of the references to things like labor disputes or labor camps that were built in the Kootenays or Trail, BC, Comox. And so that map really tries to highlight some of the things that are talked about specifically in the book. So on that map, you'll see the locations of World War II era internment camps where Canadians and residents of Japanese descent were interred. It's still historically the largest mass exodus that Canada has ever experienced. And then in addition to that, there's also icons for all of the Depression era relief camps where young men were sent to work for $60 a day during the Depression. So that, in addition to where the bulk of First Nations territories are in the province, I thought were priorities, and so I've laid that out and included it as a map in the comic.
Now, you mentioned that Pierre Trudeau is portrayed as a fascist, and then when you think about the politics today and Stephen Harper as a prime minister, are there any plans, do you know, afoot anywhere in Vancouver to make an up-to-date kind of version of this comic, this history?
Oh, gosh. I certainly hope that 100-year ripoff would help inspire a new generation to take part. I know that there are some good folks in the comic book communities in Canada who do like to focus on political comics and graphic histories. One group in particular is the Graphic History Collective. They're a group of folks, illustrators, writers, researchers, who have sort of carried the torch in terms of keeping some of these stories alive to do with Canadian labor history, and I definitely look to them in terms of sort of keeping that torch going. But no, nothing set in stone yet for a new 40-year update. Not yet.
Well, maybe this will inspire people, as you say. Where can people get a hold of it?
Well, right now we've just finished a really successful Indiegogo campaign where we were fundraising the money to get the comic book printed and out, and so that included pre-orders. So people can access Ad Astra Comics' website. So that's Ad Astra Comics. Comics is spelled with an X at the end. And people can just shoot me an email and I can send them a copy. I'm also working on getting the comic into bookstores in Vancouver, but that is a work in progress right now. So.
Okay. Well, thanks so much for talking to me this morning, Nicole.
Thank you very much for having me.
I've been speaking to Nicole Ginneling. She's the owner of Ad Astra Comics in Toronto. She writes about and publicizes political and history comics and has just reissued the comic book History of BC, The 100-Year Ripoff. You can learn more about her work and you can find out how to get a copy of The 100-Year Ripoff at adastracomics.com, and comics is spelt with an X.